Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome on into the Wolverine.com podcast. Clayton Safey here with Ant Wright, former Michigan basketball player and our analyst here on Three. We're going to discuss all the Michigan basketball news of the last few days. Hunter Dickinson is back for his junior season at Michigan. Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate have declared for the draft while maintaining their eligibility, so they're going to explore that process. Obviously, still the potential for them both to return, one to leave, one to, you know, come back, all that type of stuff. So we'll get into kind of their decisions. So those are kind of still decisions that are going to be down the road. But Hunter Dickinson, man, declared last year, and we'll start with him, declared last year, came back, said at one point he was leaning towards leaving, but decided to return. Says it was for one last ride. I was looking up the exact wordage there. One last ride. But as I kind of said throughout the season, I mean, he can go back on that. Obviously, he technically has three more years of eligibility because of the COVID year. NIL is a big thing. You can make a lot of money there. Hunter's, you know, has a lot of deals in that space. And here he is deciding that college is the better option for him. He can only go through the process one more time. So I think it was smart for him. He's already been through that. The feedback is going to be similar, although he's expanded his game a little bit. And he's just going to kind of ride with these guys and be back with the team. I think it's beneficial to have your leader back and kind of with the team throughout the entire offseason. So your reaction. I mean, Hunter Dickinson felt like it was kind of trending this way for a few weeks now, but he makes the decision and, you know, decides that he's going to stay at Michigan for at least another year.
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's huge being able to solidify your front court. That would have been a position where we're like, okay, is Terrace Reed going to have to come in and play right away? Very good player, by the way. Terrace Reed, I am a big fan of him. Be out for a lookout. I have a breakdown for him coming out very, very soon. But Terrace Reed has been just improving every single year for the last 3 years, and now he's a top 40 player. Now you're going to have that dude backing up, in my opinion, the consensus Big Ten player of the year. That's going to be big. It's going to be big for them to battle back and forth. It's going to give you another option when it comes to Will Cheddar. Will Cheddar is a very good shooter. He's a good post-up player. He can play the four. You have Musa is still in limbo, but if Musa were to leave, a lot of minutes do open up at the four for some shooting now to surround Hunter. People think that Hunter dropped off last year. That's opposite. And I was talking with Hunter during the Final Four, and we were talking about how much his game has improved this year, and it improved while the spacing got like was a 180 from the previous year, and we were just laughing about how it's going to be crazy if you were to play in another like heavy spaced out offense. And I think that can happen next year, and that could be pretty scary. If you do have a Big Ten player of the year caliber player, you set yourself up nicely to contend for a Big Ten championship. And if you're able to win a Big Ten title, you're in a pretty good spot for a good seed to make another run at a Final Four.
No doubt. And it's something actually we talked about throughout the NCAA tournament run. You play Colorado State, right? You get down, but you were able to climb back, and Hunter Dickinson was obviously huge in that game. And then he goes off against Tennessee as well. His 48 points in the first two NCAA tournament games were the most by a Michigan player since Juwan Howard. So he was kind of carrying them. I know Eli Brooks was fantastic as well against Tennessee, but there's something to be said about, yeah, Tennessee was probably a better team than Michigan, but Michigan had the best player on the floor And Colorado State, you know, might have been better. They looked better for the first 15 minutes, but Michigan had the best player on the floor. They were able to pick it up and win. Now you translate that to next season when there are a lot of guys in the Big Ten that are departing. It's something we talked about right after the season, how the Big Ten is not going to look the same next year. It's going to look so much different. But with Hunter Dickinson back, Michigan, and the way they play and how they play through him is going to look, you know, as similar to last year as any team probably in the league, because, you know, maybe Minnesota, I don't know, will be kind of up there in that as well.
They are my surprise team.
I saw that you have Ben Johnson for Coach of the Year, which is hilarious. We're already doing this, but I love it. Because, but no, I think it really takes. Yeah. So, I mean, Michigan's going to be able to play through him again. They know they have an identity. I mean, that was a problem early last year. I thought, what's the identity of this team? I mean, what do they really hang their hat on? Now, Michigan knows exactly what it's going to do with Hunter Dickinson. Tons of pieces to figure out around him, including Caleb and Musa, who we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, just how big is that? Being that Big Ten team that finally seems to have some continuity, you know, especially in a year when there's so many guys that are leaving.
That's huge. That's huge. And then you kind of look around the league and see the big men in the front courts that are departing. Then you got Hunter coming back. He's by far the most decorated player returning next year, where his biggest foes are going to be Cliff Omori for Rutgers. Dane Danger for Illinois is very good. He's a transfer from Baylor, top 100 player. Zach Edey is back, but as of right now, Zach Edey doesn't have guards to throw him the basketball. So it's gonna be a very interesting time. Michigan State, they only have 9 scholarships right now, and they have only 2 assistant coaches, and their big man who was gonna play 20-25 minutes and start, Julius Marble, transferred out. So all they have right now at the 5 is Joey Hauser, Jackson Kohler, who's a very good player, very good recruit coming in, and they have Matty Sissoko. So there's a lot of attrition going on. You're going to see some faces you haven't seen before. Minnesota has Dawson Garcia, the transfer from North Carolina, from Minnesota, former top 50 player. He's pretty good as well. But it's nice having that continuity, as you said, because you're getting some continuance from the previous year from some key guys, from some key guys, and then adding and rebuilding. When you're doing that, that's what's going to put you in a top 3 type of situation, competing for a Big Ten championship, when some of these teams, honestly, they're just trying to build out a competitive roster. They're not thinking, this is what we got to do to win the Big Ten title. It's, oh my goodness, are we going to have a shooting guard next year? Are we going to have a power forward? Are they going to be able to, like, are we going to have a point guard? Do we have to change the way that we play? Like, you know, and a lot of these things, they just can't control, because they have to almost, like, it's almost like recruiting all over again. Except now you are recruiting grown men who are getting offers, different NIL packages. Like, I thought Nigel Pack was going to go to Purdue. Nigel Pack, one of the top scorers in the entire country, super efficient. Indianapolis, Indiana kid. I'm like, oh, Purdue, that's easy. You just offer him Carson Edwards shots, and that's it, right? No, because my Miami attorney sweeps in, signs the kid for $800,000, $400,000 per year over 2 years, and then gives him a car. Tough. And you guys are like, well, how do you know that? The businessman tweeted it.
They announced
exactly
it.
Yeah. What it was. Before the kid announced. I'm like, this is not legal. None of this is legal. Like, what are we doing? It's like, you know what I mean? So it is the wild, wild west. And to be able to keep someone like that at home, someone who would go on the market for a million over, Oscar's giveaway, yeah. Oscar's getting 2 million at Kentucky. You know, Hunter could have very well, you know, put his name out there and just auctioned himself off. But but he wanted to win. He wants to win a championship at Michigan. He wants to hang another big banner there, and you can only commend that.
No doubt. And it's funny, I was going back and kind of reading some of his quotes from the process last year, because it's very similar. You know, he didn't win a national championship this year. That's kind of the thing he was talking about when he decided to come back. He also said NIL was just a little bit of a, you know, a little icing on the cake type of thing. Well, now that we're a year into NIL, I think that has changed. I'm glad you brought that up, because it was a point I wanted to make. We're seeing this trend. You know, there's a lot of guys going, and I think, you know, Caleb Houston, you know, could use another year, needs another year. You know, and there are other guys that are testing the waters that will probably return, and that'll be that. But there are also guys, and there's a trend going on with Oscar Tshiebwe, the National Player of the Year at Kentucky, who's coming back, the first National Player of the Year to come back and play the next season since Tyler Hansbrough, and I believe it was 07 or 08. So we're talking about something that's pretty rare. NIL, as you mentioned, he wasn't even eligible to get NIL earlier because he's you know, from out of country, but was able to get his visa changed, all that. That was a big story. You see Armando Bacot for North Carolina, another guy who's more of a traditional big, not the NBA style right now, decides he's going to come back for, what, his senior year, I believe? Yeah, his senior year, because he's a year ahead of Hunter, and they played together, and they'll play against each other again in the Jumpman.
And they'll play Oscar in London.
Yeah, that's right. So he's playing both of those guys. It would be great matchups, yeah. And really interesting to watch. And those are all three, you know, guys that were dominant big men last year, dominant players in college that are coming back. So I guess, you know, you kind of touched on it there, but in terms of NIL, I think Hunter has realized how much money he can make. There's rumors out there of how much he is making, and he's going to continue to rake that in, because he's so, you know, for as much as we laugh at the comments he makes, and, you know, even his teammates, the screenshot of them laughing before he even opened his mouth talking about the NIT chance and all of that. As much as we laugh about it and kind of just, you know, brush it to the side, he's building a brand for himself. He's good on social media. He is, you know, obviously 7'1". He's the big man on campus, as Devontae Jones said, literally the biggest man on campus. And that means something these days. And I think he's enjoying his college experience. NIL, for as much as we can talk about how there are some downfalls to it, how it's, you know, is this legal? Who knows? For certain things like the Nigel Pack thing. But it's keeping a guy in college basketball, and as somebody who loves the sport, I think this is one of the good things about NIL.
I agree 100%. The bags that are being dropped is unreal, is unbelievable, and I talked about this on the Spotify Live. Like, everyone is in the NIL game. Every school, well, like Air Force cannot be.
Yeah, I think the academies can't.
The academies can't, which is like, how do you, you know, that's just tough.
But I mean, they're signing up. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of rules there I don't understand.
Yeah. So like, everyone's in the NIL game. Every school who's able to be is in the NIL game, but that's almost like, you know, going to the casino and saying, you know, hey, everybody here is gambling, right? There's someone with a, you know, with $5 over on that slot machine. There is someone with $100,000 over on the craps table. They're both gambling. They're both gambling, but there's levels, right? There's definitely levels.
Yep.
Someone's got $3,000 over on poker. Someone's got, you know, $300,000 on baccarat. Like, nope. Hey, we're all gambling here. Like, no. You're not all gambling. Some of you guys are just messing around and, you know, trying to like get by without doing much. Others are really trying to get something done. At the end, it may burn you, but no, there's different levels to this stuff, man. Different levels. What Miami did, wild.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's true. And, I mean, you see the stuff about Texas A&M. Obviously, that's on the football side. Jimbo Fisher, you know, not wanting to admit to that, of course. He would never know about anything like that that's going on. But I agree. And, the people that have complained about Michigan and NIL and they're behind and all of this, I mean, sure, they don't have the NIL collective yet. We hear that's, you know, in the works, and they're, you know, working on doing stuff the right way, like the legal way. And it probably takes a little bit longer, and there's state laws involved, so it's really complicated. But I think the way Michigan's honestly doing NIL is probably the right way, where, hey, you know, if you're good, if you have a good brand, you know, and you can market yourself, there's an opportunity here. Blake Corum, you know, he said he's in six figures. I mean, he said he's not the only one. Jim Harbaugh said there's quite a few guys on the football side that are making a lot of money because they proved, you know, they're valuable. I mean, these guys, now they can make money kind of on their own. It's not necessarily being enticed by the program. So this is an example that Michigan's getting it done in the NIL space, whether or not some people want to believe it or whatever, but Hunter Dickinson cashing in. You see him posting something different every week, a different ad on his Instagram, and good for him because, I mean, he does have a big brand. Like before, it was Adrian Nunez has millions on TikTok, and he had to, you know, click the setting on the app that he can't accept the money. But now he can, and that's all on his own. Like Adrian Nunez didn't really use basketball much to get that following. I don't think his followers on TikTok are huge They're Michigan like fans. Fans. Right, exactly. They're not Michigan basketball fans. So, I mean, so good for those guys. And it's obviously helping college basketball in this sense. Shibuya's back. Baycott's back. Hunter Dickinson's back. Three examples. We're seeing it around the country. Caleb Love is back at North Carolina. That dude, why not run it back? That'll be an interesting matchup. I think getting a little bit of UCLA 2022 vibes from UNC. But it'll be fascinating to see them next year and some of these other teams that are returning guys that they otherwise wouldn't have.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%. The only difference is I do like North Carolina's backcourt, and I trust the big man that he's going to do what he does. That's like the only part that's like not very UCLA-y to me.
I do trust those guys more. Yeah. Because what Ju Zhang was doing felt a little more
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, like, I mean, credit him. He was fantastic.
He had a really good tournament.
Yeah, but it feels like a little more sustainable. At the same time, though, when Caleb Love is cold, he's cold.
Yeah, he's cold, but he's super athletic, can get to the rack. And then, you know, R.J. Davis is a very good Robin to the Batman. And Armando Baycott, he doesn't care about anything except getting rebounds and playing extremely hard. They do need Puff Johnson to play, to be more like a Brady Manek next year, and less of like a spot guy. He's got to do a lot more because I think Manek was like the glue for that team.
Yes.
And the reason why they were able to flip and make a run at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Puff Johnson, I think he has a lot of potential. You kind of see it. I know. Let's just stick with the front court and start with Musa and then, you know, get to Caleb quickly too. But he's kind of the guy that we talked about 2 weeks ago that, hey, if a guy does declare, he probably has the best chance of leaving. He has probably the best chance of being drafted just because of that upside. The athleticism, you know, stuff you kind of can't teach. He's also raw early to the game. He's going to get better and improve. Your thoughts on his decision? Not a shock, I don't think, especially with him. Caleb was a little more surprising, but, you know, still, if you would have asked me 3 weeks ago, I wouldn't have been surprised. I guess just once the deadline hit, it was like, okay, Caleb probably just didn't enter his name, but turns out he did. Your thoughts on Musa first and, you know, his decision that he has coming up and what you think he might do during the process?
6'10", great measurables. I think he's going to test very, very well, and I think that's going to turn – a lot of heads. He has a high motor. A lot of what NBA teams need right now, he does. Offer you some rim protection, high ball screen rolling, switchable, versatile on the defensive side. You know, that's like, man, there are so many cats right now who are getting a lot of minutes who do what he does, like Jackson Hayes, Claxton, guys like that, who are, you know, more a little bit on the more skinny side, but they do a really good job around the rim and playing in that middle third. I think he's got a shot right now. There's a lot of mocks that have him undrafted. I really can't see that. Now the NBA draft, there are two picks that were forfeited, so there's only going to be 58 picks. So if you don't see him in that, if you don't see him in the 40s, you would hope that he doesn't go drafted, so he could pick and choose where he wants to go. But either way, I would not be surprised if he goes in the 40s, because I just think that he's going to be a high potential guy. He's someone that they're going to put in the G probably for a year, maybe a couple games in the NBA, but a lot of G, a lot of, you know, hammer experience, get into it, do what you got to do. I think he's also someone that you don't sign to a two-way. That's someone that you would sign to an actual contract, similar to like a Delano Banton, like a two-year deal with like a third-year option for like $2-4 million. I could definitely see something like that for him.
From the Michigan side of things, now that Hunter's back, I think Musa is the guy that you'd say if we had to lose one of these two guys, it would probably be him, because your front court is solidified. Hunter is a five. Musa, I think, is more of a natural five. And, you know, I mean, you would easily take him back. And the people that are saying that, you know, let him go and all this stuff, I mean, let him test the waters. Obviously, it's his decision. But I think in an ideal world, Musa Diabate is back. People forget how productive he was. 9-6 last year, you know, shot a good percentage from inside the arc, obviously has a lot to improve on. But from Michigan's standpoint, I guess, where do you stand on that? You know, I guess how big it would be to get him back, how big of a loss it would be if he ended up staying in.
Getting someone back like that, someone who has a high ceiling, someone who can go through a sophomore leap, would be nice. But I also think that putting a shooter at the four spot is going to benefit your All-American a little bit more, where I think, you know, Will Cheddar, if Caleb comes back, Caleb's going to be right there at the four. Terrence Williams is going to be right there at the four. We're going to have a lot of options, and they're all going to be able to shoot a bit. Even Terrence Reed can shoot the ball. And I will not be surprised if they put Terrence Reed at the four alongside Hunter at times, or just to experiment with that. And he's pretty polished, very, very inside out type of player. It's very interesting. David West is like my comp for him.
I like it.
Yeah. Very, 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 very good player. But I just think it's good either way, in my opinion. I think him going is going to free a lot of spots up for guys who are ready to play a bit more. Especially T. Will. You know, if he leaves, T. Will's minutes are going to jump to about 20, 25. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you do have Isaiah Barnes in there fighting for the minutes at the three. You know, Will Cheddar is going to command some minutes at the four. I just like the potential for very good shooting around Hunter. And everything – like, yes, we do need really good backcourt guard play, but if it doesn't benefit Hunter, we would have to kind of reconsider some things.
It's funny you mentioned, you know, okay, let's say Musa leaves, it's Hunter at the five, potentially Caleb at the four, and I'm kind of feeling the same thing, that I expect Caleb Houston to come back. He's another guy, you know, not appearing on those mock drafts, fell from being a top five guy in some of those coming out of the U19, you know, Team Canada stuff that he did last year and was really impressive in. But, you know, and that's fine. I mean, he had kind of more of a normal freshman year than people think, but he just had such high expectations. So him going through the process, getting that feedback, how valuable is that for him, as opposed to maybe not declaring and, you know, just deciding, hey, I'm going to work with Cam Sanderson. You know, I'm just going to kind of stay with the team and do all that. Because I know the timeline was a little different last year, but I mean, Hunter and Devontae Jones didn't really join the team until midsummer. Those guys were kind of already going. So it is a little odd in terms of timing, but at the same time, it's not like he's away from basketball. He's going to be working on things. He's going to be bettering his game, training, getting feedback, learning about what he needs to do better.
Yeah, you know, Caleb is someone who it's almost like he's going to know exactly what he needs to do better. And a big part of that is going to be consistency. He's got to get more athletic. He's got to get more bouncy. He's got to be able to get more efficient with his dribbles. He's best when he's doing two dribbles or less. When he's asked to do a bit more, it's like every dribble, like his efficiency drops. You know what I mean? So, you know, if they're able to get him back, I think you are going to see a sophomore leap, because I think IQ-wise and his camp as well, they are going to hit on things that he struggled with all season long. And he'll be able to come in at the – where like it's almost like if Musa left, T. Will and Caleb can kind of play that like dual position, like whichever one's whichever type of deal.
Yeah, like Franz and Livers, yeah.
Right, exactly. Just hey, play off each other.
You're a wing, yeah.
You do what you do.
Yeah.
You do what you do. So I like Caleb. People are like, oh, he had a mediocre year. I'm like for a freshman, he had a pretty decent year. Mm-hmm. He had a pretty decent year. Maybe not the expectations of, like, you know, shooting up a bunch of shots and averaging a bunch of points, but he did have a decent year. And they just need him to take that big step, that big next step. And a lot of that does have happened from your freshman to your sophomore season.
It's amazing how guys, you know, what, 6 months later from when we last saw them, when you start that next season, how much different they look. I mean, Puff Johnson from North Carolina, he looked so raw last year. But I was talking about this the other day with somebody, like, by the time November rolls around and, you know, even December when Michigan plays them, that's going to be a totally different dude. So I think people are underestimating not only with Caleb how much he's going to get better, but Musa too. Like, he's going to improve too. This is a really raw, athletic guy who hasn't played a ton of basketball in his life compared to some of these other guys, compared to a Caleb Houston. He hasn't even started playing basketball. So these guys are going to improve, you know, whether or not they come back. But if they come back for Michigan, it's not just, oh, you're getting the same Caleb Houston from last year back. No, it's you're getting a better Caleb Houston who's going to have a bigger role back. So that's important. And same with, you know, the other guys that are staying for sure, like a T. Will and some of these other guys. Last thing I wanted to hit on is Michigan continuing to pursue Terrence Shannon in the portal out of Texas Tech. You know, kind of a story we've been tracking for a couple weeks now. Obviously, you know, admissions hurdle, that type of thing. But it seems like Michigan, you know, has been the favorite for a little bit, you know, depending on if they can get him in and all that sort of stuff. What would he add, I guess, to this team in your estimation?
I mean, he's going to add another shooter. He's going to add a big threat in the transition game. He's very good on catch and shoot. He's very good on catch and rips. He's going to give a lot of what's the term? Like, there is some excitement, but he does provide winning basketball. He does come from. It's crazy to talk about, but Texas Tech is a winning basketball program. You know, you say that, what, 6 years ago, you're like, ew, disgusting. Like, no. No, but he's going to come from a winning program, understanding defense, understanding winning plays, understanding what not to do in certain situations, what to do in certain situations. He's not some isolation guy who was going to just ISO you and do all these things, but very good catch and shoot, lob threat, someone who can get to the basket, very quick first step, and finish very strong at the rim, get fouled, go to the free throw line. I think he averaged 12 points a couple years ago. He was all Big 12 third team. High caliber transfer. I think he's like a top five transfer easily.
He's kind of in there in some of those rankings that people do. Yeah, CBS might have one top 5, 6, 7-ish. Yeah.
Yeah, so like he's up there with like Kendrick Davis and Nigel Pack of like, hey, these are some big time transfers. If you really want to change your program or build on something special that you already have.
Yeah, and when you're coming from another power league like the Big 12, which is the best league in the country last year, you know, you don't have those worries throughout the offseason. What is this guy going to translate to? Even these coaches that have done it for so long, and Juwan Howard has a great eye for talent, and same with Phil Martelli, Saadi Washington, Howard Eisley, and coaches around the country that have really good eyes for talent. Some of these up transfers, they're still like, well, we don't know. Like, we got to see him once he gets here, and even when he gets here, we got to see him in the games, and you know, even in the games, is he going to get better throughout the year? So a guy like Terrence Shannon, how do you like this Michigan comparison? A mix between a Tim Hardaway Jr. and a Charles Matthews, I guess. What are your thoughts on that? You can tell me I'm way off, but.
Terrence Shannon and Charles Matthews.
Charles, maybe a little bit of the defense.
He's a little bit bigger. A little bit, but I can see that. I can see that a little bit because my comp for him was Brandon Rush. And that's kind of who he is. Like, he's going to hit you with spot ups. He's going to get to the rim on one or two dribbles and try to dunk on you. Super athlete. Not an ISO guy, but very good one step. I can say that, but I think Tim was a lot better off the dribble with his jump shot. I can say that.
Sounds good. So we'll continue to track that story here at thewolverine.com. If he pops, if he commits to Michigan, we'll obviously break him down and do all that stuff. Continue to follow the story there, as well as Musa Diabate, Caleb Houston. The rest of the offseason stuff also worth mentioning that anybody on the team right now that's going to transfer out has until May 1 to do so and be eligible for next season. Although then you see the reports the other day that no one even really believes if that's a true deadline or not, because the NCAA could still hand out waivers. So the NCAA continues to just be, you know, it's just whatever goes, I guess, with that wild organization. Wild. Yeah, exactly. Wow. The Wild Wild West continues in the college basketball offseason, but we'll continue to track it on the Michigan side of things at thewolverine.com. $1 gets you an entire year of premium access, so all the scoops there. Join us right now. Thanks to Ant for joining us, and we'll see everyone next time.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.